If you're anything like me, you've probably been feeling, a bit overwhelmed lately, maybe a little burned out.
Like the world is just moving too fast.
Exactly. And there's this new intellectual framework that says, that feeling isn't some kind of personal failing.
No, it's a massive systems error, and one we can actually fix.
So that's our deep dive today. We're getting into a really remarkable piece of work called The Coherence Age, From Fragmentation to Regeneration.
And what makes this so compelling right from the start is its origin. It was co-developed by Dr. Bechara Sahil, who's a deep systems thinker, and the pattern recognition engine of GPT-5.
And that collaboration itself is part of the story, isn't it? It's human insight meeting this huge computational power.
It is. It kind of embodies the whole principle of coherence right there. You're integrating intuition with massive data analysis to, create a blueprint for what's next.
So what's the core finding?
It hits you immediately. We live in an age of just unprecedented interconnection, thanks to technology, but
But diminishing coherence.
exactly. We're all connected, but we aren't functioning well together.
And we see that fragmentation everywhere. They call it systemic inflammation. So things like personal anxiety, social polarization, even ecological collapse.
They're all the symptoms,
Yeah.
symptoms of a single disorder, fragmentation between systems that are supposed to be interdependent.
So if fragmentation is the disease, coherence is the cure.
Or the immune response, maybe. They say coherence is the organizing intelligence of life itself.
Okay, unpack that a little. It sounds big.
Think of it less like a perfect static balance and more like a symphony. It's this rhythmic, dynamic balance that's maintained through constant feedback, repair, and relationship.
And when that coherence gets stronger.
The system doesn't just survive, it actually evolves. It moves toward greater complexity,
Right.
integration, and they argue, compassion.
So our mission today is to really unpack this for you. We're going to start with the rhythm of your own body and then scale it all the way out to see how this one principle could potentially redesign economics and even global governance.
It's an ambitious framework.
It really is.
Okay.
Okay, so let's start with the architecture they lay out. They have this developmental model built on three interlocking axes of coherence.
Right. And health in this model is pretty simple. It's just the ability to sustain coherence when you're under stress.
And they're nested, you said, not just a checklist.
Crucially, yes, you have to get the inner stability right before you can really navigate the outer world effectively.
So, axis one, the foundation, physiological coherence.
This is your internal health. It's
Yeah.
about mastering things like, autonomic regulation, getting your heart and brain rhythms in sync.
Somatic safety, the feeling that your body is okay.
Exactly. If that physiological foundation is shaky, I mean, everything you build on top of it is just going to collapse.
Which leads right into axis two, relational coherence.
Your interpersonal health. This is how groups function. It demands empathic communication, the skill of repairing conflict.
Which is inevitable.
Totally inevitable.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it builds collective trust. It's what keeps a team or a family or a nation together.
And then we scale all the way out to axis three, systemic coherence.
This is your institutional and planetary health. So we're talking about things like organizational transparency, regenerative economies.
And those ecological feedback loops we need so badly.
Right. And when these three axes are aligned, that's when a system moves past just being stable and into genuine regeneration.
You know, what's really provocative here is the idea that our crises aren't just policy failures. They're seeing them as a sign of civilizational immaturity.
Exactly. They talk about civilization having developmental stages, like a person.
Yeah.
And for the last century or so, the dominant mode has been what they call the self-authoring stage.
Heroic individualism,
Eh.
competition, control.
It gave us massive expansion, no doubt.
Yeah.
But now we're hitting the limits of that model because it inherently fragments the commons.
So the argument is that these global crises are actually forcing us to evolve, forcing us into what they call the coherent mind.
Yes. The coherent mind organizes through reciprocity, not control. It gets that the self is fundamentally part of the system.
So my self-interest is only really met when the whole system thrives.
It's moving from my control to our relationship.
Let's ground this in the body because they call it the first ethical instrument. The source opens by declaring the great incoherence is really a civilization in sympathetic overdrive.
It's such a perfect description, isn't it? Our whole economy is built on urgency, immediate profits, crazy deadlines,
And our politics.
built on outrage. Our media thrives on constant stimulation. And all of this has basically trained us to lose the biological downbeat.
That rest and digest mode, the parasympathetic state.
We've lost it. The consequence is systemic burnout, but it's not just a metaphor. They back it with hard biology, with the polyvagal theory and the vagus nerve.
Okay, so why is this one nerve so important for social health?
Well, the vagus nerve is like the main information highway. It connects the brainstem to the heart, the lungs, the gut. Its state, its tone, dictates how we engage with the world.
So a high vagal tone means?
It means you feel safe. It carries the signal of safety. And only when it's active can we be empathetic, regulate our emotions, and really connect with others. The second we feel threatened, that tone drops and we go into vigilance mode.
So a society with a low collective vagal tone would naturally devolve into what we're seeing: high vigilance, low trust.
And political fragmentation. It's the physical expression of collective trauma. When people feel unsafe, they literally cannot access the higher cognitive functions they need for complex problem solving.
It's a vicious cycle. Anxiety just breeds more anxiety.
And less capacity for consensus.
This also really challenges the idea of empathy as some abstract moral thing. They call it resonant physics applied to biology.
It's marvelous science. We think of empathy as a choice, but it's an involuntary, measurable phenomenon.
How so?
When people are interacting face to face, their heart rate variability, their breathing patterns, they literally start to synchronize. It's called physiological entrainment.
So my body is literally reading your body and trying to get in tune with it.
That's the signal of safety. And it explains so much, right? It explains why communicating through screens, through text, through comment sections,
it just devolves into hostility so easily.
Yes, because you've stripped out that crucial biological feedback loop. The nervous system, without that resonance, just defaults to suspicion, which is why they have that line: you cannot be wise while afraid.
That's a fundamental challenge to how we've built almost everything.
It is. Cognitive brilliance, executive function, moral reasoning, it's all downstream of physiological trust.
So if you want smarter systems, a smarter boardroom, or a smarter government,
you have to stop optimizing just for intelligence. You have to build safer systems first. Smarter thinking will emerge from that safety.
Okay, so this physiological regulation, how does it scale up? They talk about a central fractal pattern, the loop of life.
Right, the loop goes like this. Physiology leads to emotion, which shapes our narrative, which defines our relationships, which then feeds right back into our physiology.
So when that loop is running smoothly, that's coherence.
And when it breaks down, that's chaos. A distorted narrative, like a conspiracy theory, can override your actual physical reality and lock you in a state of fear.
And that loop has to be integrated into how we define value itself. Which brings us to economics.
A huge topic. They talk about the inversion of value, this metaphysical error of treating life and nature as a subset of the economy.
Instead of the other way around.
It should be the foundation the economy operates on. So the shift is to align the flows of money with the flows of life energy.
But to do that, you need a new ethical anchor.
And they find one in John McMurtry's Life Value onto Axiology.
That's a mouthful. How does it work?
It's actually really elegant. The good is defined as whatever sustains and enhances life's coherent organization.
It unites physics and ethics.
Precisely. If life is organized energy, then value is just vitality sustained across time. Coherence becomes the new measure of wealth.
Okay, give me a practical example. How does that change economic behavior?
Sure. So in the old model, polluting a river to maximize profit is, you know, economically viable. The cleanup is just a cost.
An externality.
Right. Under the coherence framework, a polluted river is seen immediately as a massive economic loss. It diminishes the vitality of the entire system, the ecosystem, the community, human health. Value shifts from extraction to enhancement.
It forces a long-term genuine responsibility. Okay, let's jump from money to power. How does this scale to politics, to the body politic?
Well, our traditional adversarial democracy, while it's vital for checks and balances, has become a cognitive bottleneck. It's modeled on a boxing match.
It generates chronic stress, adrenaline.
Which we know inhibits complex thought. So the framework suggests we have to evolve democracy from opposition to the physiology of cooperation.
But wait, isn't that adversarial system the very thing that prevents tyranny? How do you protect minority views if everyone is just focused on agreement?
That's a great question, a crucial challenge. They're not advocating for some bland consensus. They're advocating for a process that can metabolize disagreement without causing the system to rupture.
And their solution is deliberation as collective cognition. What does that actually look like?
They point to pilots of these citizens' coherence assemblies, and these aren't your standard town halls.
How are they different?
They begin with practices like somatic grounding, or even just moments of intentional silence. The whole goal is to lower the collective sympathetic arousal, to restore that vagal tone before the debate starts.
So you get people out of their lizard brain and into their frontal lobe.
So they can actually listen and metabolize disagreement into intelligence instead of just escalating it into tribal conflict.
And the measure of political health changes completely. It's not about who won.
No, it's about the quality of relational attunement. And this is key, the repair time after social rupture. It's about learning to breathe together as a society.
We've gone from the neuron to the nation, and now the final step, spiraling out to planetary homeostasis.
Right, this is where we look at the Earth itself as a single self-regulating organism, Gaia.
And if that's true, then our role as humans has to shift dramatically.
We can't be the controllers or conquerors of nature anymore. We have to become the planet's sensor and steward, consciously working to reduce entropy and align with the Earth's own intelligence.
So the healing of the planet actually happens through us, through the conscious regulation of the human system.
It's a profound shift. The vision is that this isn't about the next big technology. It's about maturational integration. They call it the second enlightenment.
The reunion of reason with life.
And integrating all our knowledge into actual wisdom.
And that wisdom gets distilled into the practice of everyday coherence.
Yes. They say the revolution won't feel like a storm. It'll feel like calm returning.
So what's the practice?
It's got two parts. First, regulation as responsibility. Basically, regulating your own nervous system as an act of service to stop contributing to the world stress field.
De-escalating the world begins by de-escalating yourself. I like that.
Yeah. And second, repair as ritual. Instead of avoiding conflict, we embrace repair as this necessary sacred process for growth.
Acknowledging that the health of a relationship isn't the absence of wounds, it's the quality of the repair.
You got it. If the problem is fragmentation, the breakthrough is just being whole, connected, and in rhythm again.
The whole framework seems to be synthesized in that final law of coherence they lay out.
Everything alive seeks coherence. Everything coherent sustains life.
If that's true, then our most powerful political and economic action might be surprisingly personal. Which leads us to our final thought. What single intentional act of attention, or maybe even just a single breath, can you take today to align your personal system with the planetary rhythm, ensuring that the world heals through you?